I gave my students an assignment recently about homilies, and I had a few questions, and then they had to write a homily for me. But one of the questions was, at this point in your life, what's your experience been of homilies so far? And the most popular response was, boring. And then I said, okay, what would you like to hear in a homily? And they said, stories and practical application. Okay. Then in their homilies that they wrote, only about 25% actually had a story or a practical application. So they didn't even, they forgot the number one rule of preaching, practice what you preach. So they got some work to do. But today is a perfect Sunday for that, because there's three stories, three personal stories of what it means to follow God. In the first reading, we hear from Isaiah. Isaiah sees the heavens open and the seraphim around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy. And he says, woe, woe is me. I can't be a part of this, God. I'm not worthy to be a part of this. I'm a man of unclean lips. And God says, forget about it, basically. Don't worry. I'm going to cleanse your lips. You're going to be my servant. And then eventually Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. In the second reading, we hear from St. Paul. St. Paul is the king of this sort of storyline where he was a persecutor of Christians. And he always says, I'm the least of all. Completely unworthy. I persecuted Christians. I was prideful. Everything I did up to this point was harmful, not even just like neutral. It was harmful to the spreading of the gospel. And yet, he says in our second reading today, like Popeye, I am what I am, that here I am, I'm who I am. And by the grace of God, that's who I am. And now he's equipped me to spread the gospel. In the third reading, the patron saint of never getting it quite right is St. Peter. That here he is on the shore fishing, and Jesus comes up to him and says, hey, you're not having much luck, are you? And Peter says, all right, buddy, keep moving. And then eventually he's so upset that he just does it anyway. And he lowers his net, and lo and behold, he gets a big catch of fish. And then he's so overwhelmed by the experience of the Lord, not because he got him a bunch of fish, but because he saw inside of him, he saw who truly Simon was. And so Peter says, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I don't want anything to do with you because I'm completely unworthy of your attention right now. But eventually Jesus says, come, follow me. And Peter and his friends leave everything behind, leave every single thing behind and follow him. I'll add my own story. I've come from nothing special. My story, my vocation story is very boring, so it's not that interesting. Youngest seven kids, come from Western North Dakota. My parents didn't graduate college. We had 1.5 bathrooms for 7 kids. Pretty humble. I want to run for public office because I could have that kind of blue-collar roots story. Like, my mother was a mother of 7 children. My father was a blue-collar worker, and you know, vote for me. But basically, nothing special. And I don't hold myself up as an example, but the only thing I can say that I can pass on to you is that I'm not worthy of what I'm doing. I'm not a good enough priest, and that's exactly what God wants. Like Isaiah, Paul, Simon Peter, me, the only thing that you can do is just to say yes to God, to give yourself completely to God. Okay, so what's the practical application that you desire so badly? It's to give yourself 100% to God. God doesn't ask much. He just asks for everything, every single thing. Like Saint Peter at the shore, he left every single thing behind. And basically, now, today is the day when God doesn't want to hear any excuses from you anymore. The time for excuses is over. Well, you know, I'm not good enough, Lord. You know, I just want to give you generally a good life and blah, 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 but I'm not going to go all in. I'm not going to cast out into the deep because I'm not worthy. Okay, I just gave you 4 examples of why that's not a good answer. You could answer, I'm too good for the church, but then, okay, congratulations. I'll talk to the rest of the human race for the homily. That God doesn't want to hear your excuses anymore, that I'm not good enough, I'm not a good enough wife, I'm not a good enough husband, I'm not a good enough mom or dad or whatever. Yeah, you're not good enough any of those. That's the whole point. That's why you're a Christian, because you need Jesus. At the end of the day, if all we say is, Jesus, I need you, then that's what the Christian life is all about. Sometimes we get confused and think, Christianity is primarily a moral religion. It's about a list of do's and a list of don'ts. Christianity is not primarily a moral religion. Christianity is not primarily a moral religion. It's about being humble and honest with the Lord and saying, Lord, I need you. And when we say that to the Lord, it's very dangerous because, like we saw in all of our examples today, that it leads you on a different path, a different course than you charted for yourself. It takes you out of the driver's seat, and it says, Lord, I will follow you where you go. And maybe there's some teachings of the church where we're 80% there, but 20% say, now I know what's going on. I'm in charge, okay? Maybe there's some practices of the church that we say, you know, mostly I'm going to follow this, but, you know, I'm not really going to go all the way. Or maybe there's some areas of my life where I say, I want to serve God with all these things, but this one's kind of my little pet project that I'm going to keep for myself. That's not acceptable. It's better to be 80 than zero, but God demands 100%. And so it doesn't mean that you have it all figured out. Simon Peter, king of not having it figured out, after he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to leave all my nets behind, I'm going to come follow you, the rest of the Gospels is him messing up over and over again. And what does he do? He just says, Lord, you know, I'm a sinful man, forgive me, basically. And over, he says, come follow me. Jesus says, come follow me. Even at the most important part of the gospel, when Jesus has been rejected, he's got very few friends, and Peter, who's probably his best friend, says, Jesus? I don't know him. Who? I've never met him before. Three times. Imagine the rejection. Okay. But Peter becomes the leader of the Catholic Church. He's one of the greatest saints of all time. And at the end of the day, between we have two examples to follow, Peter and Judas. Both of them sinned as badly as you can imagine. Peter's sin was no better than Judas's sin. And yet one had the courage to say, Lord, I will follow you. I want to serve you. And Judas said, I'm not worthy. And that was his final answer. So for us, the example is, yes, I mess up, but Lord, I'm going to keep on trying, giving you 100% of my life. And Jesus never says, well, that's three strikes and you're out. He always gives us that opportunity to come back to him and to give him everything in our lives. So today, look at your life and say, God, where am I holding back? Where have I not left everything on the shore to come follow you? And how can I serve you with no less than 100% of my life?